This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program. The Hub City Spartanburger text line is open for you right now at 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Or that is 844-326-3663. Here is the question that I have asked today. We don't usually do, like, themed stuff on the show, but as it is indeed the 4th of July week and coming up, I am going to do that today. The question that I have for you all this glorious July Thursday, the day before most of us have tomorrow off to celebrate the birth and independence of this great nation. And for those of you that do have to work tomorrow, I assume most of you have to work tomorrow because you do something that the rest of us need you for. And so we appreciate that sincerely and genuinely. But as the rest of us prepare to have tomorrow off, here's the question that I am asking you on this July 4th Eve. What's the most patriotic moment in American sports? What is the most patriotic moment, that moment above the rest that made you swell up with pride, that moment above the rest that made you say, and I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free? What is that moment for you? I told the story of mine a little bit earlier back in the first hour of the show after the events of September 11, 2001. All the football games that Friday night were obviously canceled, but the next Friday, there was a big discussion and debate going on in Okaloosa County amongst the school board about whether or not they should cancel the next week of football games. My high school, the Choctachi High School Big Green Indians, were part of that discussion. Our principal at the time, Principal Bounds.
I hate to do the Big Green Indians.
Big Green Indians.
Okay.
Yep.
What was the mascot?
A Big Green Indian.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We were the Choctachi Big Green Indians. So our principal, Richard Bounds, who was working his way, and it was no secret, towards being the, whatever the name of the head of the school board is, school czar, school commissioner, whatever it is.
He's a chair.
Chairman of the school board. I don't know. That sounds too cool. Anyway, he was on his way up, so he was a very prominent voice in the community, and he had made it clear a couple of times that he really did not know if it was right to play football that next week. And so on that Monday, over that weekend, I wrote an editorial in the newspaper. I was a sophomore and the first and only at the time sports editor of the newspaper as a sophomore. I wrote an editorial that said, play the damn game. It didn't say that because it was a school paper. You get the point. And the argument that I made was sports are for healing. Sports are for community. Community heals together, not apart. Even though we are a nation of individuals and we celebrate individuality, I also believe that community heals. People heal. People heal each other. People are healed by other people. And so what I wrote in that editorial was play the game. Play the game because you will bring two hurting communities together. I got a call the next day. We printed on Monday. We distributed on Tuesday. I got a call the next day to the office of Principal Richard Bounds, who sat me down and said, I want you to know I have been on the phone with the school board members today, and I have told them all we should play this game, and I did that because of your editorial. I think you're right, which was a very cool moment for me personally. So then that Friday night rolled around, and the Choctachy Big Green Indians were taking on the Eagles of Niceville High School. Big county rivalry between two schools that year that had dreams and aspirations of winning a state championship. And the winner of that game was likely going to host the other in the playoffs. So getting home field advantage was a big, big deal. So we played the game. And when we got to the stadium that Friday night, Niceville did something very cool. They asked their fans to sit with Choctaw fans in the away bleachers, and they asked Choctaw fans to sit with Niceville fans in the home stadium, in the home bleachers. And so instead of having all the maroon on one side and all the green on the other, it was just all mixed together all the way around. They basically said, we're opponents all on the field, but we're all Americans off of it. Everybody sit together. Everybody be together because that's what healing is about. And they did. And the game opened with both marching bands. And these marching bands had a rivalry, all right? These were two very proud music schools. Both of these schools had won marching band championships many, many times over the years. They did not do nice things together. Both of them marched together onto the field and played the national anthem together with half of the band from both schools facing the home stadium, half facing the away team. And ordinarily, you go to a football game, the band faces the home bleachers, right? Half the band's faced in each direction. So everybody was together for that moment. And it was this, for me, it was this very monumental moment. Because while I had been obviously taught for years that we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth and yada, 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 all of which I believe. In that moment, I really felt what that meant. In that moment, I really understood what that meant. In that moment, it was not Choctaw and Niceville. It was not conservatives and Republicans. It was not, Christians and Jews and atheists and Scientologists. It was not any of that. In that moment, it was about 20,000 Americans standing together, doing something that we all love, Friday Night Lights, high school football, enjoying something we all love together, but also giving each other the opportunity to lean on each other at a point in time where we were all hurt. That is without a doubt. And even though that was a moment that of everyone listening to this show right now, I believe I might have been the only one that was at that event, right? Because it was 8 hours from here. But that moment, Even as a high school sophomore, even as a 16-year-old punk high school sophomore, that moment mattered to me a lot. That moment still resonates with me. I've got a handful of memories from my high school career that I will carry with me forever. Going to the basketball state championship game my junior year. When I got asked to go to homecoming by my crush. I'll never forget that, right? I felt like I was somebody.
Braggart.
Hey, man, you got to put yourself out there, buddy. You got to be brave sometimes. I remember that. But that moment right there, that Friday night in Niceville, Florida, the Friday night after 9/11, with two teams that played a game in part because I wrote something in the paper that a leader, an authority figure said that mattered. This is the reason. This is a big reason we're doing this. To then see 20,000 people who, in every other year that these two schools got together, they had comments, right? Like, it was trash talk. This was a rivalry game. It wasn't our primary rival, but this year, especially when these two teams had visions of state championships dancing in their head. And they knew the winner of that game was likely set to host the other in a playoff game in the region, which would determine who got bounced in round one and who got to move on to try to go play. I think the state championship was in Ben Hill Griffin in Gainesville that year. Whatever. To see that in that moment, football was important as a healing tool, but that at the end of the day, we all recognize it's just football. Like this, all of this is more important. All of this is bigger than that. That is the single most patriotic moment of my life. Those two bands playing the national anthem, half of each band facing in each direction, half the maroon sitting in the green, half the green sitting with the maroon, to see all of that together and to hear that stadium go quiet and to hear the absolute pop when the anthem was done and to be standing on the field as I was reporting on that game, to stand on the field and to turn in a circle and see the entire stadium and to see thousands of little handheld American flags raised in the air with a huge pop from the crowd. That was the single most patriotic sports moment of my entire life. It has stuck with me since then. And even when I am an old man drooling on myself in a wheelchair and I have forgotten the names of most everyone I've ever met, I think I'll still have that memory. That's how impactful that was. So, what is your most patriotic sports memory? We have gotten a few suggestions so far. One of them I very much like as a baseball dude, and that was George W. Bush, a.k.a. W., throwing out the first pitch, Game 3 of the 2001 World Series. That game was in Yankee Stadium. George W. Bush, the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, after what he had to go through as the leader of the United States in that month and week or so since the attack happened, when we were, I think, all living on edge. Could this happen again? Is there? Could it be today? Could it be tomorrow? Is it in the planning process? Are there people here who want to kill more of us? While all of this was happening, George W. Bush is trying to navigate that reality while also keep us on the right path and not fall apart at each other's throats. Him walking out on a Yankee Stadium, and now we know, I don't think we knew it that night, but now we know, walking out there with a bulletproof vest on underneath a big thick jacket to the bump, and not just delivering a first pitch, but delivering a perfect strike of a first pitch. To hear not just Yankees fans in that stadium that night, but to become with a 30-second performance, walk on the field, wave to the crowd, walk to the bump, throw a strike, wave to the crowd, and leave. That moment just felt like it was so much bigger than a first pitch. I have said this before, and I'll say it again. I would put that moment, that pitch for George W. Bush, I would put that in the discussion of maybe the most under-pressure sports moment of all time, right? George W. Bush told the story later that right before he walked out there to the bump, Derek Jeter came over to him as captain of the Yankees that year. He said, Jeter came up to me, and before I went out there, said, do not, whatever you do, do not bounce this pitch. Because if you don't get it over the plate, doesn't got to be a perfect strike, but if you don't get this ball over the plate, at least to the catcher, they're going to boo you loudly, violently. That's what Yankees fans do. So if there was a moment that an athlete, and I'll call him that for this moment in time, if there is a moment that an athlete felt pressure to do his job, George W. Bush had one pitch. And in that pitch, there was going to be a moment. There was going to be a moment by which he would be judged. There was going to be a moment that, in a weird way, I think to some degree, all of us would have been judged. Keegan just asked in the chat, can you imagine what would have happened if he 50-cented that pitch? Our country would have crumbled. It's like a joke, but also kind of not.
By the way, that was my moment too, but since someone already picked it, because I remember holding my breath. How many people held their breath right before he threw the pitch? It just going, please throw a good pitch, please throw a good pitch.
Just get it over the dish.
And then he killed it.
He killed it. I mean, perfect heater right down the pipe, right? It was definitively the most pressure-packed first pitch of all time. It was a pitch that, again, like if you're not I would go so far as to say, if you're not a sports guy and if you're not a baseball guy, then you're probably going, what a bunch of dramatic buttholes, right? Like, that would make sense. If you don't love baseball, if you don't love sports, I can see how you would look and be like, these overdramatic queens, what are we doing here? But if you love baseball and if you love sports, you know the weight of that moment. You know the weight of that moment. You know what that moment felt like. And so for him to go out there, knowing that, not only was he going to be judged by this, because Lord knows we judge our presidents of the United States on some dumb things sometimes. We judge them on some dumb stuff. You knew he knew what the judgment was going to be for him if he, you know, bounced one or 50-cented one into row 4 of section 100.
You know what? Maybe he never had a doubt in his mind. I mean, you got to be a certain kind of person to be able to run a country. Maybe he went out there with the utmost confidence. I mean, we don't know. I hope he did. I hope he went out there without a doubt and just did what he did.
I do too. But at the same time, I mean, how many pitchers have stood on the bump in the ninth inning with a no-hitter on the line with all the confidence in the world they could get there, and the next guy pipes a single out to center field? Like, your confidence to do a thing, you still are going to have nerves. I think rare is the Kobe that doesn't feel emotion, doesn't feel nerves. Even if he knows, I'm throwing straight. George W. Bush was a baseball player. He's been around baseball his whole life. He knows how to throw a strike. You know, not that it is in any way, shape, or form, even in the same stratosphere of conversation. But when we were doing the first pitch at the old Spartanburgers game years ago, I sat on this mic and I'm like, yo, I'm putting one down the pipe. I'm a baseball player. I'm confident. But I'm also going to tell you that when we went out there for that day and they introduced me and I stood on the bump and my boys lined up, Keegan's lined up behind the plate, and the dude calling the game is behind there in the umpire's position, and I look out, and there were definitely not 27,000 people. There was like 200. I still was like, oh, please don't bleep this up.
Yeah, I gave you a killer pep talk before that. And the thing is, you were so nervous that you thought taking all that practice before would get the nerves out, and it didn't.
It's never going to. At the end of the day, you can go out there and shoot a bazillion free throws. There is a huge difference between practice, 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 and standing on the free throw line down one with 2 seconds left to play in an NBA Finals. That was his moment. That was his spot. The weight of all of it was on him in that moment, and he knew that it wasn't just going to be him that was judged for that. It wasn't just going to be him that was evaluated for that. It was, in a weird way, at least if it's only for sports fans, the country. Because it's going to be a spot where you go, wait a minute, in this time of turmoil and upheaval and conflict and tension around the country and around the world, the guy that you elected to be the commander-in-chief of the biggest, most powerful military on the face of the planet can't throw a baseball 60 feet, 6 inches? Like, it's dumb. I acknowledge it's a dumb thing to judge on. But we do it anyway.
Would have been propagandized around the world if you threw a bad pitch.
1,000%. Yes. I'm telling you straight up. It's going to sound awful. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying it. Al-Qaeda would have turned it into a propaganda video.
Absolutely they would.
1,000%. Not a joke. Bin Laden would have circulated that thing and been like, look at this weak, feminine dude that they have running their military. Can't even throw a baseball 60 feet. Like, it would have turned. He knew the pressure that was on him in that moment, and he went out there and piped it. And the country at large, love him or hate him in that moment, the country at large was like, hell yeah, brother. Like, oh, it felt good. So I like that. I like that take. All right. What is your most patriotic moment, the most red, white, and star-spangled moment in American sports history? 844-326-3663. Text it to me right now. We'll tell some more stories when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I have asked you for your most patriotic moment in American sports history. Dexter says, when Benny the Jet Rodriguez hit a home run.
Rob says he will not allow fiction.
No,
I asked this early on because there will be a lot of fiction that some people feel patriotic about.
Yeah, but again, that's a script. I think sports is at its best when it gives you those great, memorable, romantic moments that only real life can produce.
Hey, when Roy Hobbs hit the lights and ran around for the home run, I felt pretty patriotic when I saw that.
But again, I can script a hell of a patriotic moment off the top of my head right now, right?
When El Grande Americano debuted. Felt very American.
He got taller. It's impressive.
It's, you know what?
Growth spurt.
You know, this lets you know that's a younger dude underneath that mask.
All right. So I've asked for your most patriotic moments. We've gotten a handful of Miracle on Ices so far this morning. Nettie Mack on the stream says, has no one yet mentioned when Al Bundy scored his fourth touchdown in a single game against his nemesis, Bubba Spare Tire Dixon? Great patriotic moment. Al Bundy, all-time American football player.
Doesn't count, though, because it's fiction.
But so, it is fiction. Yeah, it's correct.
Rob's criteria.
Yeah.
No fiction.
Shoot your answer to Hub City Spartan Burger text line 844-326-3663 or call in. Be on the air. Tell us your story on the air. All right. I wanted to get to one more thing, and this is another, I think, fan rant, culture rant, and this will be the last thing that I say about it. But it came up yesterday on the BetMGM network, and it really got under my skin a little bit. I was talking with my co-host, Jared Smith, who we've had three really good shows today on that network. Really enjoyed working with Jared. So we were having this conversation yesterday about the WNBA and how the fans voted Caitlin Clark the number one all-star, the media voted her number three, and the players voted her number nine. And Jared said, and I know Colin Coward had a similar rant. I think Doug Gottlieb had a similar rant as well. And all of them were like, oh, y'all are being petty. Y'all are being jealous. You finally found the golden goose for the WNBA. And the other players are making it harder for her to continue to thrive and excel and carry this league. And again, like, I understand, I'm not saying I agree with, but I understand the feelings of jealousy if you are a vet of this league and put a bunch of work into it, and then one girl shows up and just by existing doubles the audience. Like, I'm sure that is very frustrating. I get it. I am fine with playing uber aggressive against Caitlin Clark and being very physical with her, try to throw her off of her, off her game, off her rhythm, off her tempo, whatever. I'm good with all of that. I'm also not good with, you know, extracurriculars, pulling of hair and whatnot after the play, which is why the Fever went and got Sophie Cunningham. Put all that to the side. There was another example of this that I think was a bad example, but it got spread by at least three different people that I came across directly or indirectly yesterday. There's a video that's going around right now of Kelsey Plum, who's out in Los Angeles with the Sparks. It comes from like a week ago. The Indiana Fever were playing at the LA Sparks. And in the pregame warmups, there was like some sort of, I guess, VIP experience where the Sparks had a limited number of fans that were sitting courtside for warmups. They were like on the players' bench during warmups. And one of the young ladies who was there, I say young lady, she was probably in her late 20s, early 30s. So young to me. Was on the sideline wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey. And Kelsey Plum, who is a noted personality around the league, walked over to her with an LA Sparks t-shirt and handed it to her and said, hey, you're courtside, put this on, do better. Now, if I just told you that, you'd go, that's petty, right? Like, why would you do that? And I know that because Jared did it yesterday. And one of the other NBA analysts we had on, we were talking about this with, said it yesterday. And I went, guys, did y'all see the video? Like, did you actually look at the video? Did you actually watch this? Because what you'll see if you do is that in these pregame warmups, like an hour before the game tipped off, it is very evident that Kelsey Plum was just having some fun with a fan. She has still got the resistance band around her legs for her warm-up stretches, right? And she sees this lady, and she grabs a free t-shirt off their bench. This is a player-issue t-shirt. Walks over to her, and when she says this to the lady, she's very clearly having a fun. She's laughing. She's smiling. And after she hands the shirt to the girl and says, hey, you're on the sideline. Do better. She is laughing at it. She then grabs the lady by the hand and picks her up and brings her onto the court and puts her arm around her to take a picture with her. This is one of the most famous players in the WNBA, Kelsey Plum. You know, she's not Caitlin Clark. This would be like, I don't know, Jalen Brunson, right? Is he in that top-notch elite group? Not really, but like, you know who he is if you're a fan. So Kelsey Plum stands this girl up, puts her arm around her, takes a picture, smiling, happy, whatever, pats her on the back before she sends her back to the bench seats. And the lady who, as a good sport, wearing the Caitlin Clark jersey, does indeed cover up that jersey with a Sparks t-shirt. She's laughing, having a good day. She just got invited onto the court by a WNBA player who then lined her up to take a picture and was smiling and patting her on the back and whatnot. But this was being used yesterday as an example of WNBA players being jealous of Caitlin Clark. And I think that's dumb. I do. And one of the issues that I'm struggling with now, as somebody who, if you are, as I am, a supporter of women's sports, a believer in women's sports, and specifically of the WNBA, I want it to be big. I want it to be good. I would like young women across America to feel like there is a place in sports for them. And I do not feel like that has always been the case. In fact, I think it's a relatively recent development that we have even been celebrating women's college basketball, which is played everywhere in America. So as somebody who wants that movement and that momentum to continue, as much as I absolutely agree that there is a sense of jealousy and resentment that has built up towards Caitlin Clark over the years, I also believe that there is an element of judgment that is placed on women in sports that is not placed on men. I believe that that moment right there was a player who understands that everything you do as a player is public now. Everything you do is on somebody's camera. Every interaction you have is filmed and placed on social media immediately. And I think she looked over and she said, here's a chance to have a little fun with a fan. Yeah, she's wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey. That's cool. I can have some fun with this. She brings her a t-shirt. She smiles. She laughs. She stands her up. She takes her, puts her arm around her, takes a picture, pats her on the back, has a go. It's funny. And so she had this moment. And it got posted on social, as she, I am sure, knew it would. Kelsey Plum's a big social media person. She has this moment. And then yesterday, I heard no fewer than three on national networks, three different male sports hosts say, can you see the jealousy and the pettiness? It's like, no. I saw a player who was having a laugh with a fan. Don't we always ask for that all the time? Don't we always ask for our athletes to be more involved with fans? Don't we always ask for our athletes to engage with us? Don't we, whenever an athlete is spotted ignoring somebody who is trying to get their attention, don't we kind of judge them a little bit and go, wait a minute, man, your fan is the reason you have all this money and this celebrity. You should engage with them. And a player does it. And with zero context to the interaction, I hear a bunch of dudes get on the radio and go, she's just jealous. She just hates Caitlin Clark. Kelsey Plum and Caitlin Clark are literally friends. They're literally buddies. But the problem is this conversation creates this world where I have to come in here and go, the girls are friends. Now, I just want to talk about basketball. But I will say part of it is on the WNBA players because there is a sense of jealousy and envy. But I think it is also on us. And I'm gonna specifically say those of us with microphones in an audience. To be honest about all of this. To be forward about all of this. And I think when you start casting that on Kelsey Plum, who has been a Caitlin Clark friend and fan. Oh, she's just hating. No, she's not. She was having a moment with the fan. And that fan, while she may be a Caitlin Clark Indiana fan, I guarantee you she's an LA Sparks and Kelsey Plum secondary fan now. That's how you grow the game. No, she's just jealous. That's a dumb take. Watch the video, experience it, and like actually know what you're talking about. Back after this, Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves. Swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Welcome back, Deep Voice Announcer Guy and friends. It is the Rob Brown Show here on The Fan Upstate. I would like to revisit a conversation that we had back in the last hour, and I will tell you why. The reason that I'd like to revisit it is because I am curious as to the lack of reaction that it got. Not because I necessarily said anything that I expected a reaction to. The reason I brought it up is, or the reason I bring it up now is, because in the other conversations that we have had this offseason about the South Carolina Gamecock football team, whether it has been Lenora Sellers or the transfer portal guys or the returners or the guys that were lost like Nick Emanwori, any of the other conversations that we have had so far this offseason about your garnet and black adorned football team, I have gotten comments, opinions, texts, tweets, whatever. And the question that I asked back in the first hour, in the second hour of the show, you guys have not responded to as well. By the way, I needed to say this. I should have said it at the top of the hour, and I do apologize for it. Lulu Kessin is on vacation for a couple of weeks, so no Lulu Kessin for the next 2 weeks. She is on a little family vacay. Lulu Kessin will return to us in the last week of July. She is taking advantage of ranking season just like we are.
She'll be back just in time for football season.
That is exactly correct. That is exactly correct. She will be back the last week of July. You know what else is back the last week of July?
Football.
The National Football League. Preseason game numero uno, Hall of Fame game. I don't remember if it's the last day or the day before the last day, but the very end of July, we'll get some football on TV. All right, so I asked the question back in the last hour. I'll play you the clip that triggered the question for me. Tom Fornelli was on the CBS Sports Network. They were talking some college football, and the Gamecocks became a topic of conversation. Now, regarding the topic of conversation, the South Carolina Gamecocks, Tom Fornelli is in, as are a lot of people. I've told you before. I'm on the BetMGM Network every week, multiple times. Tuesdays, interview spot. Fridays, I host the show. And in that conversation, or on that network, the Gamecocks have come up in conversation a number of times. They have come up as a team that is an interesting bet to make the playoffs. They have come up as a team. Yesterday, I was asked the question, in the SEC, over under 3.5 teams to get to 10 wins in the conference this year. And we were addressing some of those bubble teams, right? Like, I think Georgia's getting to 10. I think Texas is getting to 10. Who else might get to 10? Are there two more teams that could get to 10? And so we were talking about, could Alabama get to 10 this year? Could Tennessee get to 10 this year? Because Tennessee plays Georgia. If Tennessee's going to get to 10, they're likely going to have Georgia lose to them, which means that there's another loss for Georgia. Does that threaten Georgia getting to 10? Yada, yada, yada. And one of the teams that was brought up by two different hosts, me and Jared both, but also by a couple of guests on the net yesterday, were the South Carolina Gamecocks. Could they legitimately get to 10 wins this year? And we were not the only network that was talking about them. Tom Fornelli talked about the Gamecocks on the CBS Sports Network as well. Fornelli's in. Talks about the spots he likes, the spots that he thinks can be wins, the spots or maybes, whatever. The point here is he is in. So am I. I've made that very clear. So the question that I came up with yesterday as we were having this discussion was this. The South Carolina Gamecocks are now very clearly on the radar of the national media. And I understand that many of you do not particularly care for or about the national media. Fine, I'm good with that. But I do think that you do have to look at it from the position that you are in as being important to win them over. Because whether you think it is good or bad, smart or dumb, right or wrong, the national media controls the narrative about your and every other football team. They control that conversation. And when the College Football Playoff Selection Committee makes its way to Dallas, Texas in January or late December or whenever it is, and they are going to lock themselves in a room in a couple of Lazy Boys with some chicken wings, and they are going to watch Conference Championship Weekend, which I respectfully do not expect the Gamecocks to be participating in this year. If they're going to lock themselves in that room and they are going to try to select the 12 teams that they believe should get in, I should really say the 7 teams they believe that should get in, the 4 highest conference champs plus the group of 5 team. If they are going to select the 7 teams that they believe should fill in those other spots, and the narrative about your team is they don't deserve it, they can say all they want that they do not allow the national media and the opinions of it to impact what's going to happen. Do any of us actually believe that that is the truth? I certainly do not. So you need the perspective of the national media to be in your favor. Now, the best way to make sure that happens is just go win a buttload of games. Just go win 10 games. I think 10 games in the SEC get you into the playoff this year. Again, the over-under for 10-win teams in the SEC is 3.5. With a juice to the slightly over, I believe. Which means that they believe that there will be 4 10-win teams in the conference. I think all 4 of those teams will get a spot. And it might be shifted up depending on, you know, do 3 Big Ten teams get to 10? Does Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State all get to 10? Could we get a sleeper cell activated in Michigan and they beat Ohio State and they get to 10? And both those teams are 10-2, and now we got 4. I don't know. But I think 4 SEC teams with 10 wins would get in. So winning 10 would make it to where this discussion doesn't matter. But if they win 9, and I think 9 is probably the roof. 9-3, I think, is the roof that I'm setting for South Carolina in my expectations this year. If 9-3 is the roof and 9 wins in the SEC puts you on that bubble, you're sitting around 11, 12, 13, 14. You're sitting on that bubble about getting in and getting out. Then what you need is folks across America talking about you and how impressive you were. And yeah, they only had 9 wins, but you need them to believe that you got 9 wins not because you're a 9-win quality team. You need to be playing good enough football that they say they got 9 wins because they ran a gauntlet in the second half of the season. They had one of the toughest final 7 weeks in all of college football to get through, and they got through it. Maybe then they dropped 2. Maybe they all 3 losses. They're 9-3, but all 3 came against now playoff or playoff bubble teams. And they were competitive in those games. They didn't get blown out. Whatever, right? So, Oppo, what happened to Alabama last year, who lost to Oklahoma and all that, and the conversation going into the playoff selection was, how can you pick a team that lost to a bad Oklahoma team? Even if they did get some big wins, they lost to Vanderbilt in Oklahoma. We can't put that. They beat Georgia, but they lost to Vanderbilt in Oklahoma. You got to be competitive in those games. Whatever. So the question I have for Gamecock fans is, and I am surprised, I don't know if I framed the question poorly or if you guys just, and this is going to sound insulting, it's not meant to be, y'all just don't know enough about the program. Not that you don't know ball, but you don't know because you haven't been here yet. You haven't been in a position where a lot of the media believes you're a 10-win team. Been a long time since you were a 10-win team.
They have been in the position. Not I didn't recently. Say they
that's not literally what I just said.
Not recently.
Been a long time.
So anyone who is a fan of the team remembers Spurrier and the run that they had early
absolutely.
On with Spurrier.
So when the college football playoffs didn't exist. Where 10-2 wasn't sending you to a national championship.
And you've been talking about how they're going to be in the conversation when they were in the conversation last year.
They were in the conversation as a bubble team. I don't disagree. As a 9-3 team.
So if you consider last year the new norm, then this year is what you expect. And so it's not a surprise. It's what you expect.
The conversation for me here is not about whether I get there or whether I expect it or not. I expect you to be 9-3. I think 9-3, if you go 8-4, I'll be like, yeah, it's a little disappointing. 7-5 or worse, I'm gonna be heated. 10-2, hell yeah, great season. 9-3, I think, is my expectation. But the difference between last year, where you ended up in that bubble, and as Tom Fornelli said, missed the playoff by a single game, the difference is you did not come into the season with that expectation. I don't think any of you guys, when we did our what's your roof for this year, I don't think we had a single Gamecock that said, make the playoffs. Nobody expected that. I'm not saying maybe you didn't expect a 9-3 season, but you didn't expect 9-3 and in the conversation for the playoffs. I think you do this year. I think 9-3 with an expectation of being in the conversation for one of those last playoff spots is realistic. So, with that being said, when you are entering a year, because let's look at this from the psychological perspective. It's much like the rankings. What do we say about the rankings? I am anti-preseason rankings. Why? Because the conversation about you throughout the course of the year is largely based on where you started. If a team is ranked number 2 entering the year, and they go play a bunch of mid-teams, and they win all their games by 1 point, the conversation becomes what? They're underperforming. We expected more. Versus a team who's unranked, who goes 6-7-0 to start and they win all those games by one, we say what? They're overperforming. It could be the exact same resume. But just based on a presupposition or a preconceived notion, the conversation shifts about you. The expectations are elevated. That also means the conversation about your expectations are elevated as well. Which means that if you get to the end of the year next year, and the conversation at the beginning of the year is elevated, it also means the conversation about you throughout the year is elevated, which means that if you end up in the exact same position this year where you are 9-3 and you are on that bubble conversation, the media that last year had zero discussion about you going into the season might look at you this year when you are a huge part of the conversation preseason and go, yeah, well, we expected this, and they just kind of did what we expected them to. That's not playoff qualifier for me. Whereas last year, when nobody expected a damn thing from you and you got there, you might go, that team overperformed. That team was one of the best teams because they had no right to be here, and yet they are. We should give them a nod. So the question I have for you Gamecock fans, and again, I am a little stunned that it has been 2 hours and I've gotten zero answers about this. Do you believe that under Shane Beamer, that with Mike Shula as your new OC, that with all the changes and the guys that have left, including a couple of NFL draft picks, with Lenoris coming back and being a Heisman finalist, short odds bet, etc., with all of that stacked, do you believe that your team is ready to handle business? Do you believe that your team is ready to understand the expectations, understand the consequences attached to having a higher elevated a conversation around you? Do you trust that this team is ready to take that pressure and respond to it positively? Or do you think that there is a possibility that with the extra pressure, they fade a little bit? 844-326-3663. I want your answers. I'd love to hear from you Gamecock fans. I'd also love to hear this sports flash from Lonzo.
Not really, because he's going to leave the room. Yep. So he doesn't really want to hear it. The Atlanta Braves knocked off the Angels in game 2 of their 3-game set last night, 8-3. Rookie Didier Fuentes went 3.2 innings, giving up 4 hits, 2 runs, and striking out 6. The Braves collected a dozen hits, including home runs from Sean Murphy, Jurickson Profar, in his return from an 80-game suspension, and a grand slam from Matt Olson in 6. Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw became the 20th player and 4th lefty in Major League Baseball history to record 3,000 strikeouts. Kershaw is also one of just 4 to do it with one team. The number came with 2 outs in the 6th inning of a 5-4 victory over the White Sox. And the Lakers have added a big man signing former Trailblazer DeAndre Ayton to a 2-year deal. Ayton also had interest from Indiana, New York, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and the Denver Nuggets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.